Welcome to The Sheer Disc, episode 30. The big 3-0.
I know, 30 episodes. I didn't think we would make it. And we've actually been pretty consistent with the postings.
This year we've been good.
This year, yeah.
Give us props for that.
We're only in the second month of the year. Hey, everybody! Woo! It is time for the 30th episode of The Sheer Disc. I am your host, T. Morris.
I can see your soul at the edges of your eyes. It's corrosive, like acid. You've got a demon, little man.
I gotta find a job soon. If I'm looking that bad, oh, that's bad.
And I'm Philippa Ballantyne.
I want to tell you something because you're very dear to me. And I hope you understand it comes from the bottom of my damaged heart. You are the finest piece of ass I ever had.
Thank you, Sterling.
I've been sitting on that for a while. And who do we have over here?
KT Brisky.
Maybe you're the plucky comic relief. You ever think about that? Plucky?
Yeah!
You think I'm comic?
Between that and the drop-in? Yes. And we need some comedy after what we just saw.
Yeah.
Woo! Oh, wait. If we save it.
Save it.
Easy.
We're cool.
You decided the show order here.
That's true. I did. Yes, I did.
Yep.
All right. So, hey, everybody. We are at the end of February, which means we are at the end of an amazing February, an amazing internship. We've never done an internship before, and it's been a lot of fun. But before we get to that, let's talk a little bit about what we've been doing since the last shared desk. Pip, what have you been working on?
Everything, man. Sorry.
Would you save it for the end of the show?
Sorry, I can't do it. Let me see. Katie and I have been working on laying out Weather Child. Uh-huh. As in, she's been doing most of the work, and I've been going, yeah, that looks great.
What's the projected time for the release of Weather Child?
It is still going ahead for 1st of March. It'll be fine. It'll be ready. The ebooks are all ready to go. We're going to tweak a few little things that Katie spotted. I'm working on Immortal Progeny. I've rejigged it.
Rejigged it?
I studied.
Well, you went to the Book of George.
The Book of George R. R. Martin to check it. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I completely forgot. He kills the main point of view character. So seriously, all those people are complaining about George R. R. Martin killing characters. I'm like, it was in the first chapter.
Yeah, no kidding.
What he was going to do. I was like, how many points of view character? I got up to about chapter 16 and I was like, there are 7 point of view characters here. So whatever I'm doing, it's not that big. But I came up with a really great prologue. Yes, I'm doing a prologue. Damn it, I need it. But I think it's okay as long as it's where the story starts and the story starts the prologue. So I've been doing that. I've been talking to Laurie about sort of pitching our stuff to overseas audiences.
Oh, great. Yeah, awesome.
Have I got your attention now?
Yeah,
yes,
okay. Yeah.
Germany. We're looking at you, Germany. So she's going to be pitching our independently published stuff to Germany, which includes Weather Child and various other things. Whatever we can put together. And yeah, so that's what I've been doing.
That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it.
Well, New Zealand.
Yeah.
It's worked out pretty well so far.
Yeah, that's pretty
close
much.
Close enough.
Yeah.
Stunning betrayal from the Canadian.
Good thing we're kicking you out tomorrow. Yes, look at that.
Yeah,
She waits until the last minute.
And well, she's cocky. I mean, she's cocky because, you know,
I made it this far.
Not just that, but Canada's cleaned up in the Olympics.
Yep.
I mean, we're talking, they pwned us in, they pwned everybody. In, well, not like New Zealand's got a hockey team to speak of, but I mean.
It's okay,
you know.
Neither does America.
Inappropriate.
Wow.
She's been hiding all this. It
was snot. Oh, wow. You know what? When it comes to your letter of reference.
Pass,
bitch, get out of my home. America.
Hey, but she also makes desserts. So
that's true. That ginger crunch.
Okay, so just
again.
Nod and go, yeah.
Yeah, fine. Just
shut up and never say anything again as long as you live.
So,
don't you just love it when he works the drop-in?
All right,
welcome to my world.
So, Katie, what about you? What have you been working on that has not been necessarily internship-related?
I sent off...
Because you've been busy.
Yes.
You've been very busy. You got some Stone Coast stuff.
Yes, I got my Stone Coast package back, my first one.
What?
And it was very exciting because I had lots of comments, and it was really cute, actually, because I think my mentor was trying not to hurt my delicate ego. But really,
you do have the impression of a delicate ego, but now we've spent some time with you, we know that you're as tough as old boot leather.
Yeah, but I was looking through it, and the comments all seem very positive. I mean, there's stuff to fix, but in a good way, if that makes
sense.
Good. So I was very excited to get that back.
Don't be defeatist, dear. It's very middle class.
All right, come on.
How's that defeat? Anyway,
you just like hitting that button, don't worry about it.
I do.
I sent off the next chunk of my text-based interactive online game.
Ooh, nice. Nicely done.
Yes. Still working on prequel stuff. I'm plotting things for the day job. I've been doing copious amounts of field research for the
drinking
day job.
Drinking beer?
Whoa,
she's been drinking beer.
I am dripping bear balls. And I have been doing interning stuff, the aforementioned weather child.
We're going to wait and talk about your internship stuff later on the show.
But she has had time to do other things.
She has time to, yes, we're not complete.
We made her make bread.
Yeah, I mean, we're not complete and slave drivers, right? Right?
Nope.
Okay, fine. fine.
Silence.
Yes.
Silence.
Okay, my turn. So I've been actually retooling, based on the notes of our agent of awesome, Laurie McLean.
Forwardliterary.com.
She has been, she gave me some notes on the first three chapters of Wolf in the Fold, so I've been retooling those. And then, of course, there's the Billy Kickstarter, the Billabub Battings Kickstarter for the
what's
third
it up?
Book.
What's it up? At,
we're up to 31%.
We're
up to 31% after the first week. This is great. I mean, I'm very, very excited. It's the core audience.
Yes.
I mean, it is the core audience. Mm-hmm. And it's great and all, but now the core audience has to move forward, yeah. And they gotta
you've sort of broadcast it to the group of people that you have the ears of.
Right.
Yeah. And they need now to amplify it.
They need to turn outwards and share it to the next ring
share
of people.
It. We also made Billy 99 cents, the first one.
That's true.
Yep.
We've made it 99 cents, and we're going to leave it at 99 cents until the end of the Kickstarter, which is going to be March 16th. That's the last day.
14th.
14th?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure?
I have your calendar, mate. Yes,
it's the 14th. Damn it. Can't hide anything.
Oh, man.
What? Oh, my God. Was I talking?
What was I thinking? I should have just turned to the intern and said, when is that last date? I thought I saw March 16th. And if it says March 16th on Kickstarter, I'm going to be like, intern!
No, because you have an interview the day after it ends.
That's true. Who with?
I could check the calendar.
Yeah, okay. All right, yeah.
She doesn't have it on her brain, D.
She should.
Inappropriate.
So, anyway, yeah, so we're the Billy Kickstarter, off to a great start after a week. I've also been blogging a lot this week.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I mean, not just the...
How many blogs did you put out?
I put out at least three.
Wow.
I believe I put out three. I mean,
so
I know...
basically we've set it off pretty well for this year. Lots of shared desks and blogging and stuff.
Yeah, trying to get back into the blogging for
online. Katie's been drinking beer, but
and
yeah.
She's been drinking beer
and blogging about
and
it.
And blogging about it, which is
damn
been,
it, we should be in that.
Which has been awesome.
Bazinga!
I have been invited to be a guest blogger.
Oh, you're
on
a resident,
her blog.
A temporary guest beer snob.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm going to go on there. I'll probably I'll tell you what. I could go on ahead and revamp the Untapped blog post for your blog, and then I can also double back and also talk a little bit about, oh yeah, before the end of tonight, I have to drink my 100th beer.
Yes, yes, you do.
I have to drink my 100th distinctive beer. And what am I going to be drinking tonight?
T. Morris will be drinking a porter from Black Creek Historic Breweries.
Yes. That's
yes.
a good 100.
Yep.
Sounds good. Oh, wait, no, I should play this one.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Oh, hell yeah!
So, part of her cunning plan to get us to drive to Toronto and
probably
drink beer.
I'm okay with that. So we've been keeping busy.
What else have you been doing over there?
Well, there's the job hunt, which I'm actually thinking I'm going to scale back a little bit on because we are also working on
not so secret,
but we're working on something called the One Stop Writer Shop.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to hear us probably
don't
pimping
go there
it here.
Yet.
We're not going to go there yet, but basically the stuff that we've been teaching Katie and the stuff that we have found out that Katie is very good at,
yeah.
We are all going to offer this to writers because you know what? Instead of handing it over to schlubs like Author House, maybe they should hand over to schlubs they trust.
We found out that some, I mean, T's thing is writers don't have money. Author's House charges a heck of a lot of
money. Yeah, they do. They really
do. So if we could save people some money, get them a decent product, and not, like, totally rip out all their life savings.
Bazinga.
Just half their life savings.
Just half their life savings.
Just leave some of it.
Bazinga.
Yeah. I mean, I'm okay with that. So I'm
you'll be hearing more about that in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, we will. We'll talk about that.
When it's all good to go and shiny and sorted out, we'll be ready to go. But things are stirring.
Right.
They're percolating.
They're percolating. Percolating. So with all that, here it is, the end of the month. And the topic of the show is about this internship experience. This is where we put our intern of us.
Because I think we can honestly say all three of us didn't know what an intern, what, you know.
Yeah.
Internship. Well,
I enjoy the story of how this internship came about from my end.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, so, you know, hey.
You're welcome. Shut up.
Well, you tell us how it started from your end.
Yeah, from your end.
From my end. I got a lovely Facebook message from Pip saying, "Hey, Stone Coast sounds cool. Do you have to live in the States?" And I thought, no, it's really cool. It's our residency. I can stay in Canada. I don't have to uproot my life.
And I was like, damn.
She was like, oh, that's cool. I just had a crazy idea. That's all. I was like, okay, now I'm intrigued. What? And she's like, well, Tia and I thought that, you know, if you had to move to the States, you could just, you know, live with us. When you're not going to Stone Coast. And my little heart melts. And then she continues, because also we need an intern.
And you're like, damn.
And I was like,
you're welcome, shut up.
Then I was like, wait a sec, I am unemployed for 4 months each year. Maybe we can still make this work.
Yeah, we can make this work, damn it.
And
we
so,
can make this work.
And then it did.
And then it did. Yeah. And we were like, okay, so
she's unemployed again next year, so yeah. You know, she can come back.
So but the question is, so really what does an intern for a writer or a creative or whatever you want to call us, what does an intern do? The last time I remember someone even offering to be anything close to an intern, the guy wanted to come and watch me do what I do. And I said, you mean you want to stand or sit behind me and watch me lay out books or resize images in Photoshop? He was like, yeah. I said, wow, that's...
That's a little creepy.
Yeah. I was not into that. Not into that at all.
Would he be like fully clothed while he was doing it?
That's the part. That was the part I was a little worried about. Yeah, I mean, so
he starts reaching for any sort of baby oil.
That's where I need to drop in. It puts the lotion on its skin. So yeah. So
we don't really have a lot of interns in New Zealand, but from what I gather, it is supposed to be a fair exchange of labor for learning new skills.
Right.
Am I wrong?
Right.
That was my impression.
Yeah.
What, you mean this wasn't your impression?
Oh my God, I am surrounded by idiots.
That wasn't your impression?
Sometime during the month. Yeah, but
So let's go ahead and let's start. What was the first thing you wanted to learn coming here?
I wanted to help.
No.
Well, that... Okay, that's nice.
That was my first thing. I wanted to learn, I guess, how to function as an indie author, because I didn't know how to lay out books. I didn't know anything about Photoshop or any of that.
Right.
So those are definitely... I didn't have a toolbox. I guess I knew how to write, but I didn't really know how to do the next step.
Okay.
Beyond querying agents and publishers and such. So I didn't know how to do any of that myself.
So then...
I wanted to learn everything.
You wanted to learn everything, yes.
I don't know if we taught you everything.
I mean,
that's
yeah.
That's why I had to come back.
I don't know if we did teach
you
anything.
We kept a little aside just to get her to come back.
Okay, well then let me fire this back at you. How did you feel about the education with Photoshop?
I feel pretty good. I mean, I'm going to get it myself now because I don't have it yet.
It's a very good tool.
Yeah.
I think Photoshop and InDesign, I think, are two of the most useful things I learned.
Yeah.
Whilst I was down here.
And you picked up on it great. You picked up on it absolutely fantastic.
You did a great job of Weather Child.
Yeah. Now, but again, what was it about Photoshop that you felt challenged by? And just, you know, give us your thoughts about when you did your first cover with us. So
I lucked out with my first cover because I found a great image right off the bat. See, with Photoshop, though, I'd never touched it.
Right.
So it was a complete blank slate for me, just getting used to it. And as well, you've got a Mac and I'm a PC girl. And that's never going to change.
Yeah.
Wrong answer!
See, if you were a Mac girl, you could walk out of here with, oh, hey, look, I just happened to open up my Mac and there's a copy of Photoshop. Where'd that come from?
I had the choice to change over to a Mac during this internship.
Your computer did take a header.
That's true. She. Oh yeah. Oh wow. That's. Yeah, that was the Geek Squad when they were like, nope.
Nope. Although we met that wonderful guy, so that was really
fun. Romulus, who you named the computer after. There's a guy.
I hope that Romulus doesn't listen to this.
Oh,
Romulus.
I hope he does.
Ken, we dig his name. He was a cool guy. He was into audio.
Yeah,
he couldn't
absolutely.
Fix Katie's computer, but you know.
Yeah, exactly.
There was only so much even a Romulan could do.
Have I got your attention now?
We did.
So with Photoshop.
bring it back. Bring it back. Okay.
Had I been left to flounder about by myself, I can only imagine how long it would have taken for me to learn all the ins and outs and, as you put it, jiggery-pokery of Photoshop
jiggery-pokery,
and
yes.
making covers. You sat me down, and I don't know how long, like a couple hours?
I want to say it was a two-day process, because first you
did Silver Linings
yeah,
cover.
Yeah, did the cover of Silver Linings.
And I helped.
And you helped. And then we backed up, and then we did the cover for Under Oak Island, which really was interesting, because I'd shown her how to take two images, put one on top of the other, mm-hmm. work with layers, you know, complicated stuff.
Layers is the important
thing with
Photoshop.
Layers is layer. Yeah. Yeah. If you don't understand or you haven't mastered layers in Photoshop, you're pretty much just coasting. But what was funny was I showed her all these great tricks.
And then he said, go on, I forget where you sent me.
Deposit Photos, I
deposit
think.
That's the one.
Yeah.
Go on,
my new favorite.
Go on
right.
Pip's Deposit Photo account and find three images.
Three images. So she finds two images to combine, and then she finds this one image where she pulls it up, and I'm like, that's it.
That's the cover.
Boom, you know?
Man, that's easy.
I know, yeah. I mean, some of the easiest covers are the ones where you just find the image, you go, ooh, bing.
That one. And it's pretty.
It's very pretty. Oh, and it captures the feel. It had the right look. Everything we wanted. And then it just was a matter of her creating her own template so that she can go on ahead and she can create future covers. Then we get into InDesign. So your thoughts on InDesign. What was that experience like for you?
I love that program.
Why?
I love it because it's actually not as difficult to use as I thought it would be once mm-hmm. you have the template. Something I found with a lot of these programs is once you have set up your first template, you're pretty good to go.
Copy and paste as your friend.
No, but again,
joking.
Oh, for Pete's sake. Cut and paste.
Wrong answer.
A little
more complex than that.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, but I thought fairly intuitive program once I'd gotten a bit more used to it. Because again, I'm not used to that kind of interface.
It's not just the interface, but I mean, how comfortable do you feel? Like if I were to say to you, do you remember the difference between tracking and kerning, or even kerning and letting?
I remember letting.
Yeah, there you go. Okay. That's
letting.
A step in the right direction.
I could probably do tracking.
That's why she has
kerning
come back for
stuff.
Round two. So that
yeah,
we can
she comes up round two. She gets more solidified in the head and all that good stuff. Was there anything in particular about InDesign that made you go, I am so happy that I've learned this particular skill? Was there anything in particular that popped out at you?
Yeah, making the books have personality. As you said, a print book is brilliant because it can have a lot of personality. Like in Ministry Protocol, you have the beautiful scene break images. So just figuring out how to create the specific look and character of the book that you're going for.
Right.
And being able to actually drop those images in or change up the font.
Weatherchild is going to be a beautiful looking book.
I mean, a very classy looking book.
It's got a lot of art deco.
Yeah.
It's very pretty. And that was very cool for me too.
It was the circle of life.
It was the circle of life.
Would you ladies care to expound on that?
Well, I guess.
This is our little sob story. So I had the choice way back when I was a ute. A ute.
You mean like
you ute.
2 years ago?
Three, but you know, whatever, we'll go with it. So I was wanting to do a study abroad program, and I was looking in the Antipodes, trying desperately to decide between Australia and New Zealand, because both seemed really cool, but I didn't know which one.
Both seem really cool.
Yes. Then I stumbled across this wonderful podcast called Weather Child, and I listened to it.
Little knowing that 3 years later you'd be laying it out in print. That is weird.
That is really weird. Then I went to New Zealand.
And the rest.
There were no seraphim in New Zealand.
There were no seraphim in New Zealand.
Sorry about that. I should have put that at the front. Warning.
I did not find the Ministry of the Awakened. I toured through Wellington.
You asked the tourist board, and they just said,
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
See, the eyesight.
Yosemite?
the eyesights in New Zealand are usually very helpful.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Not this time.
If you'd asked where Hobbiton was, then they
would. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Hobbits they're fine with. Seraphim, not so much.
Yeah, not yet.
So.
And then I laid it out. So that was cool.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of bringing it back together. All right, so you got that. Now, let's talk a little bit about this new skill you have found, editing.
Yeah.
What's it been like sitting in the big chair with the red pen?
Virtually.
Yeah.
The virtual red pen. I wasn't expecting that, actually.
Surprise!
I think it went like this. It was like, yeah, Katie, we're going to want you to edit. And, of course, she just kind of stared at us blankly, and I had to come back with...
You would not want to be staring like that.
That wasn't what happened.
What do you mean?
Katie, we want you to edit.
I sounded just like that too.
Katie, we want you to edit. Okay.
And then, but you handled it. You handled it great. You actually edited the story from the mistress over at Steampunk India.
Soonest.
Yes.
I edited Nobilis's.
Nobilis Reed. And
Christine.
And you also handled your country persons, Sandra Wickham's.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
I did a lot while I was
there. Yeah, you did a lot of editing.
And Michael Spence.
And Michael Spence. That's like, so you've been hammering them out. Now,
5 stories.
Here you go. Put that on your CV.
So the question is, what did you learn from the experience of editing other people's work? And then I'll get to the next question. So what did you learn from that experience?
That's a big question.
It is a big question. That's why I ask it.
I learned that I could do
it.
I learned that I could do it.
Right.
Which sounds really simple, but it was a big thing. Because the first time when you gave me Suna's story, you remember, I was very cautious about it. I was hesitant to make suggestions and to really dig into it, into what was and wasn't working with plot and character and theme. Mm. So just saying, hey, wait, I can do this. I can make comments.
Well, you better, because you're working towards being a professional writer. So.
Yeah, yeah. But I found actually my experience doing workshops at Stone Coast was really helpful. Because that's what you do, right? You get your packet of manuscripts, you go through them, you make the notes, and it's a critique, not necessarily an edit.
Yeah.
But applying those skills over was very interesting. And then, of course, in any editing job or in any critique situation, you're always going to find stuff that you can then apply back to your own work.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's like practice, you know, practicing.
I was just checking. You're
preparing drop-ins, I can see it.
No.
You're welcome. Shut up.
Keep going. You were saying.
When you edit somebody else's work, it kind of helps you with yours, practicing, you know, finding plot holes and characters that aren't working and all those sort of things, and knitting them together.
And I tend towards lean writing, and one of the comments I got at Stone Coast was that my writing at a level of line edits is actually quite polished and smooth already.
Which is good.
Nice.
That's not a nice bad thing for them to say.
No, not at all.
Also helpful for line editing other people's stuff.
Yeah. There is that.
Yeah. Because I can tighten stuff.
Oh, she'll take your purple prose.
Yeah. I'll cut that giant
cut it
story
down to like
and
a down.
I'll take that purple prose and make you blue. So that's nice. That's okay. So we did the editing, and then of course there's the stuff that you said you initially came to learn, which you were talking about the planning, writing out a query letter and things like that. I don't know if you felt like you got enough from that.
Oh, no, that stuff I said I already knew how to do. Well,
there you go. Okay, well,
yeah,
perfect.
See, what was great about being here was that you wouldn't, I think, even necessarily be trying to teach me stuff, but just listening to you guys talking amongst yourselves.
Oh, dear. Oh, like, dear.
Oh, dear.
That's bad.
None of that was being recorded, I hope.
I know that, but in such a way, like, as you're planning One Stop Writer Shop and debating with each other, like, what are the benefits of doing this? What are some things we're going to have to watch out for? I'm listening. I'm like a sponge. Even when we were driving to the brewery today, and you guys were chatting about, I think, Facebook stuff and how often you were going to pimp stuff.
There was that. Yeah, that's true.
There's the very quiet presence in the back seat.
Yeah. Just
absorbing.
Just
absorbing
it.
Like
absorbing
a sponge.
It. Wow. Okay. Perfect.
Have I got your attention now?
So that's what you get when you have an internship.
I hope that we
you have that omnipresent, you know,
sponge.
Little, she's all nice and quiet, but what she's thinking? You hadn't given me a chance.
I'm so proud.
Yeah.
I got the feels.
I've had the feels. feels all weekend.
Oh, well, for Pete's
sake. I just have this image of her going back to Toronto, coming up and doing the whole show.
And the people from Stone Coast are going to be like, oh, crap. You had an internship with T and Pip.
Where did she learn that? That's cool.
And then, you know what will happen?
Who taught you that?
Yeah, but then again, then out of the shadows, Murr's going to step up and say, she's gonna look great with a beard. I tell you that. You know.
That was funny.
No. Love you, Murr. Murrverse.com.
I'm still gonna intern for you too, Murr.
You can't have her, Murr. Get your own damn intern.
Well, once she leaves tomorrow.
That's true. That's true.
We've got a long drive. But actually, one of the things that might possibly, this is one of the things I was thinking about, because having someone help has been such a...
It really
it's
has.
It's really amazing.
And what a great help you have been, because you actually networked us. First, you introduced us to Three Geeks in a Pod. Great podcast, threegeeksinapod.com, I believe. And they're out in Canada. And during that podcast, they said, you know, you guys really should hook up with Seattle Geekly. And we were like, sorry.
Like, who now?
Yeah. And then, of course,
we will follow that lead.
We followed that
Katie,
lead.
Katie,
follow that lead. And you did. And then all of a sudden, we get this note saying, yeah, we'd love to have you on the podcast, because we're trying to actually reach new podcasts, reach new audiences. And that's the best way to do it. So
if you have a podcast and you'd like to have T and Pip on your podcast, please email contact@ministryofpeculiarocurrences.com.
I taught you well, young Skywalker.
I have the feels again.
Oh, dear, yeah.
That's the fact, Jack! That's the fact, Jack!
Very proud of you, young intern. Very proud of you. So with all the stuff that you've absorbed in this month, what was something that you felt like you missed and you would like to come back and pick up with us again?
Ebook layout. We have not done ebook layout yet.
Right. The challenges of ebook layout, which
by the time you come back,
By the time you come back,
I will have learned some more things.
We better do that soon, because we're going to be talking about hybrid authors and at the end of March. So keep that in mind.
Well, the thing is, it's constantly changing. Even when I was uploading Weatherchild, Nook and Kobo have altered things so that now you can go in and manipulate the file, which you could never do before, which gives you quite a bit more cool stuff that you can do. You can make sure that your chapters actually work.
Yeah, yeah.
When before it was kind of a... Well, we actually had a problem with Ministry Protocol like that.
Getting Ministry Protocol out on time was a little bit of a challenge. We had the print done. Print was done, but then...
No, it was a screw-up on Nook.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, and then
they didn't tell us.
They didn't. Nobody
Someone
told
pinged us.
Us
on the Facebook page and said,
No. You're missing a big step. We started getting 1-star reviews on Nook.
Ah, well, no, we didn't notice that.
And we didn't notice that until somebody was, and everyone was saying, "Oh, the layout screwed up." And then somebody finally pinged us on Facebook and goes, "Do you guys know the Nook version isn't working?" We were like, "No." So Nook fail. Gee, I wonder why Barnes & Noble is struggling.
But then they changed it so you can now go in and fix things.
Right.
Up.
That's
so
nice.
So we fixed it all up.
So ebook layout, one thing. So we're gonna have to make a note about that. What other things would you like to have learned from us? We know that you want to go to Cacorn Brewery, but that isn't open yet. So the next internship will get that. But we got you to Bad Wolf Brewery, and we did get you to Lost Rhino today.
And Mount Vernon.
And
that was cool. I enjoyed
it. Yeah. It wasn't all about beer.
We managed to get some
history, and we went to Agecraft Hall in Richmond,
and then we went
to Mount Vernon.
And we got the proper pie.
Yeah, we got the proper pie.
I got lots of Kitella.
Yes,
that's true. You will be taking some of that home with you later on. There is no way you can come here and stay for 3 weeks and leave without some food.
What about you, Benedict? Do you want to go to? Would you like to go to Canada, Benedict?
I can clone my own cat.
Yeah, that's right.
She could.
You could probably just knit one. Just gather up the fur. Oh my gosh, I just knitted myself a Sebastian.
So any other things you would want to do on the second internship with us?
I think about that, because I feel like this is going to keep going. Like, I'm leaving, but I'm not done.
And that actually came as a shock to us. It's like, really? You're still gonna work for us after you leave?
That was my impression when I signed up for this, I'd come down for a bit to learn stuff so that you could then release me back into the wild.
I love that imagery.
I have a question.
That means they come back. They come back. You know.
Yeah.
Interns, you release them, and they eventually, if they love you, they come back.
I have a question though. Before we get to our next segment,
right?
For you guys, what was something you learned?
Oh dear. What did I? This is what I learned.
I don't know half of you half as well as I should like, and I like less than half of you half as well as you deserve.
That's what I learned.
Oh, well, okay. I've never understood what exactly that meant. But,
now, what I learned was...
Well, I'm impressed with Katie.
Yeah, I'm impressed with Katie in that we got spoiled because our very first intern was a really fast learner. Because something else you didn't happen to mention was you also picked up a new tool. Not only did you pick up InDesign and Photoshop, but now you've added to your arsenal of audio equipment Soundtrack Pro.
Oh, also I did video.
Yes.
And you did video.
And audio.
You did video. So you also got a smattering of video and audio as well.
I'm like a Swiss Army knife.
You really are. Yeah.
And I think,
welcome
what?
To my world.
You
welcome
know what?
To my
I
world.
I think as an author, you have to be, or you can hire somebody.
Yeah.
but yeah, you have to be aware that you can't just be a writer these days. It's got to be.
It's got to
be more. You've got to be either able to access those skills or develop them yourself.
Yeah. And realize that maybe PowerPoint isn't the best place to make a book trailer at. But what I learned was that we got very spoiled because I know that when I sat down and taught you some stuff in Final Cut Pro, I was expecting, okay, this is going to take us pretty much all day. And even the...
It did.
No. The video took us all day. Teaching you is going to take you an extra day. So I thought we were going to be at that video for 2 days. And by the end of the day, we were done. And I'm like, she's getting this. Wow, she's
you
really
know something?
This.
She's young. They have better minds
no,
than us.
I have taught youngins her age before. And
some of them
not the sharpest tools in the shed. And then you've got... You've got other people. I mean, I know that there are probably some people that are going, oh, I'd like to intern with Pip and T, but the
you
other...
can't. They're mine.
Damn.
Well, let's just put it this way: we don't let just anybody stay
right,
at our house
right.
for three
exactly.
weeks.
And on top of that, there's the added issue of, you know, I was worried that we were going to have a tough time separating, hey, let's go off and let's have fun with Katie, and hey, let's be official and let's have an internship with her. Mm-hmm. And I know that there were a couple nights I was like, why are we working on this at 10 o'clock at night? We should be off the clock by now. But there were some days where we didn't.
I think maybe Katie learned that when you're writing, there's no such thing as a clock.
No, there isn't.
I knew that.
Yeah. And guess what? It stays the same.
What about you? What about you, baby? Did you learn anything?
I just really enjoyed having somebody else around to help. Also, usually it's just me and the cats. So, yeah, it was a bit weird for a little while.
If you get your way, it's not going to be.
No. But I can stick you downstairs.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway.
I was just really impressed with, you know, everything that Katie did. And it was nice to have someone to help out with the calendar and content.
That was the biggest push. Because
those are the things
that
eat up the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you could be... get sucked into the marketing hole.
Being able to have the assistant and being able to say, Katie, could you look up this? Could you contact this person and do this?
Mm-hmm.
And I also think I don't know how much self promotion you did with Dragon Moon Press, but whether it was to this degree or not, I don't know. But if there's one thing I would like for you to walk away with, it's okay. This is how I approach podcast cold.
Yeah.
This is how I approach a blog cold.
Yeah, and that is something I learned because with Dragon Moon Press, my personal life exploded right after the book came out.
Oh, no.
So any promotion kind of
fell by the wayside.
Yeah,
right.
a little bit.
Just a wee bit. But you walked away with that. You walked away with that, and the best part is that you've got that stuff on your brand shiny new computer named Romulus, and you can actually take what you said about us, and you can now adapt it for the books that you've got coming out or the stories that you've got coming out, because you do have a story coming out. Because as soon as you get home, you got to get some audio to us. Yeehaw.
Yeah.
I can't wait to hear that. It's gonna be good stuff.
Some more Canadian steampunk.
Yep, Canadian steampunk. Complete with toques.
My assignment.
What?
I was going to say my assignment was to write the most Canadian steampunk story I could.
Yeah. Now,
so I did.
I I think we should go on ahead and drop the spoiler. Okay, just a quick spoiler about that. So you introduce the Quebec, the Quebec version of the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences. Would you tell us a little bit about what their name is and what the anagram spells out, please?
If she can get it out.
Wrong answer.
Come on, get it out. Get it out.
The Quebec version of the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences is Le Ministère Officiel d'Occurrences sans Explication, which is the official Ministry of Occurrences without explanation, M-O-O-S-E, which spells moose.
Have I got your attention now?
I read that and said, I am going to love this story.
And he hadn't read any of my writing before.
No, I hadn't. Pip had, but you hadn't. I had not. It is because I'm a notoriously slow reader.
That's right.
That's
why I never give him any of my beta stuff to read.
I suck at
it. Because it'll be like 2 months later.
So it was, point was that it was brilliant to see your face change. Because you kind of went like, oh, you know, you're going to see how I edit, and I'm pretty aggressive, and then just seeing your eyes light up.
Wow.
At Moose. And I was like,
yeah.
How long did it take you to actually find something that may have spelled out moose?
I was pretty lucky, actually. It didn't take all that long.
I mean, I just said, so you know what? Jack Mangan, the gauntlet has been thrown. We had the Agents of Awesome. Now we have the Agents of Moose. So, Jack, I put it to you. We have to now find a South American version of the Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences, and it has to be squirrel that they spell out, so that after Ministry of Peculiar Occurrences fall, we go after moose and squirrel.
Oh!
Now I'm gonna hit it.
Uh-oh, cat fight.
Riders off the clock.
Apparently they wrangle cats.
So what do you want to do? You guys are tripping.
I don't know. What do you want to do?
I don't know.
No idea.
I'm trying. I can't believe it. You two, you know, both of you should probably just have an internship with me about how to do a show. You're playing over the, you're talking over the bumpers.
I love that bumper though, because
I know you love that bumper, and you were talking right over it.
Yeah,
blah, 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 blah.
But then Pip is the moose.
Pip is the moose. Yeah. So okay, we have a lot we could talk about, and I wasn't sure if this could talk about
the one really important thing.
Well,
that
now
we
hang on.
Katie to.
Well, we're going to talk about that. But the thing is, There was all this stuff we could have talked about. We could have talked about the whole Mary Robinette Noel thing with CIFWA. We could have talked about the author report that came out about ebooks and the future of ebooks. We could have talked about the fact that we found out that 27 years before I wrote Billy Bob Batting's, some guy wrote about a dwarf detective. But I think it's more important. That we talk about the following. Okay, just give it a second. Yeah, we need to talk about this. We desperately need to talk about this.
From the dusty mesa, a looming shadow grows.
If you do not recognize that, the song is called "Far From Any Road," and it's the Handsome Family. But many of you may know it as the theme to probably the best television show that is currently playing on anything. It's True Detective.
Anywhere.
True Detective. Unbelievable show. We just watched this episode.
Number six.
Two episodes left. They made it very clear. Two episodes left. All right, now you two better behave. I'm gonna go rust coal on you guys, okay? So anyway, I'm just gonna go ahead and let that play. By the way, you can find "Far From Any Road" by the Handsome Family on iTunes. Buy it. It's a great song. Really gets you in the mood. Okay, so
we discovered
Is it about True Detective?
Noticed a lot of people on Facebook, lots of writers and stuff, are losing their nut over it. Chuck Wendig among them.
I mean, I was on a podcast, Serving Worlds, John Moreau, and we were talking about anthologies. So we get to the end of the podcast, and John's giving a chance to everybody. You know, what media are you consuming? And every one of the guests, including Ann Vandermeer, was on there, and she was there. And I was just like, oh yeah, I don't really have much time for a lot of stuff, blah blah blah. And I'm just saving. I'm saving. And he waited for me. He said, "T, I saved you for last because I knew you were gonna go." But this is the funny bit. I said I basically plugged my stuff, and I said, and really what I'm consuming is kind of related with anthologies because it's an anthology show. I'm watching this thing called True Detective. The minute those words left my mouth, everybody in the show just imploded. I mean, Anne Vandermeer's in the show. Two of the other editors on the show. The other guest was like, no, 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 spoilers, spoilers, don't say anything. And John Rowe was like, this is the best thing on television. So, you know, and what I find amazing is the crossover between...
Because it's not really genre. Oh, I mean, it's mystery.
It's not
mystery.
Even close to genre. No.
Well, not our genre anyway.
No, no, no.
A-genre.
It's A-genre, yeah,
mystery,
yeah.
Southern Gothic. Well,
Katie even said, I would have never watched this show. So that's another thing we taught you. Broaden your mind. You never know what you're going to... That's the other thing, too. We got after she
I
gets...
I want to write a series now with three timelines like that.
When she comes back, we got to introduce her to Luther. Because we showed her the opening of the first episode, but we never got to the end. We never got to the point where, you know, the Eighth Doctor cold cocks, you know, Stacker Pentecost. You know, we need that. So anyway, So, but what is it about the show that is appealing to geeks? That's what I wanted to ask you two first off the bat.
Ooh. To me, I like... Well, first off, I was drawn in by the mood.
Yeah.
I think the characterization is really, really good. There's also the element of putting it together, kind of what... Because it's told in three different timelines. You got 95, 2002, and 2012. And it starts off with... these two detectives in Louisiana State Police are interviewing two other guys, Matthew McConaughey, who's playing Rustin
Cole.
Rust Cole, yeah.
And Woody Harrelson, who's playing Marty. I can't remember Marty's last name.
Hart.
Marty Hart.
Hart and Cole. And they're interviewing these people in 2012 about what happened in 95 and 2002. And it sort of gradually comes out. I've seen some people say it was, you know, the first people who saw it was like, it's a bit slow.
And you know, that this was the problem, you see. Problem was this.
Thursday is one of my days off. My off days, I start drinking at noon. You don't get to interrupt that.
See, that's the thing, is they were interrupted. Because when you've been drinking since noon, you can't pay attention. And that's the problem. True Detective, you have to pay attention. Not just to what's happening in the case, what's happening with the characters.
Yes.
I mean these characters are deliciously flawed.
And they're so unreliable too. They lie all the time and then you realize that they've been lying about stuff. And then they lie about something else. But this time you know it and it's very complex.
Yeah. And that's the other thing, as you probably noticed, we're not gonna give any spoilerific stuff. But we will say I know Woody Harrelson is he's a very
eclectic,
odd, eclectic kind of actor, but McConaughey, it seems like in the past couple of years, McConaughey is like, wow, I've been doing all these goofy rom-coms
where I'm
the himbo, but hey, I got the washboard abs, I'm playing bongos naked, and nobody seems to care, so I'm good. but I really think whether it was the Dallas Buyers Club or whether it was this, he is just. I mean, I think we read a report somewhere about how. True Detective is going to be nominated for all of these awards and it's going to win all of them. And it should. I mean, but it's not just what's happening in the crime itself. It's also the characters. These are some phenomenal characters. They're very, very, they're almost too real. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're the kind of characters where I want to believe in them, but they're just so broken. And especially, I don't know if you've ever been to the Louisiana area when you went, and this is no offense against people in Louisiana. There's some beautiful people in Louisiana, but when you walk through, you know, parts of New Orleans and stuff like that, there are parts of New Orleans that need love. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are just parts of New Orleans that you look at and you go, wow, that's it's like some of the history down there. It's beautiful, but it's severely broken. And that's the way I would describe True Detective.
Yeah. They're broken people traveling through a broken kind of landscape.
Yeah, yeah.
Which sounds very much like something Cole would say.
Yeah, broken. Yeah. Cole, I mean, Cole, in the beginning of the series.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Cole is, you know, you think that Marty is just the stand-up guy, regular Joe kind of character, and it's all about Cole.
Yeah.
It's all about Cole, who's got a nihilistic... He's not
kind of the lone wolf, yeah, doing his own thing.
He calls himself a pessimist. He's a nihilist. He's like, oh, why don't we all just walk off into the sunset and die?
Just die and extinct.
So, but he's interested.
I don't have the constitution for suicide.
That's right. Yeah,
I gotta go through all these episodes and just say, okay, get that drop in, get that drop in, get that drop in.
And you're like, oh, well, Marty is...
normal.
He's normal. Poor guy. He's stuck with this guy who's super depressing driving around Louisiana.
I want to make this car a place of reflection. And we're just silent reflection.
But then, after about episode 3, you start seeing cracks in Marty that are perhaps even deeper and more disturbing than what you see in Cole.
Because now Cole is looking like this stand-up, at least moral compass.
Yeah.
is kind of terrifying when you consider the first couple
of episodes. I think we can all agree that the pivot point of this show was episode 4, which was called Who Goes There?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one that's the one that involves not just, and in fact, I
want to watch it now.
Yeah, I know. I geeked out with Ann Vandermeer over this. We were geeking out about this and Moreau, because I guess the three of us are kind of film geeks or something like that, but we were talking about this incredible shot.
6 minute.
A 6 minute tracking shot that gets no edits whatsoever. It just, from the moment Cole grabs the guy who's standing out watch, it is a 6 minute shot that tracking has no shot. Edit points, and it just tracks. And the thing was, when you first watch this, you're watching it, and you're going, what is it about this scene that is so unnerving?
And compelling.
And then when you watch the second time, you're like, wait a minute, this is all one shot. And it was just amazing to watch.
You don't really see that on television.
No, you don't. And they do that. They do a lot of experimental shots.
It's very cinematic.
Yeah, very cinematic.
Oh, beautiful. Oh, wow.
It's such a pretty show.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's very pretty in a Southern Gothic way.
Well, it's this wonderful, again, as you said, beautiful but broken.
Yeah.
Just this sense of decay. And glory fading away to nothing, which makes me want to write something.
Yes, you just want
set in the sounds.
So watching you watch the first, it was kind of like when you watched me read your writing. Watching you watch the opening episode,
we were like, and then, oh, it is that good.
Yeah. And you said this is something I would normally never watch. What do you find compelling about this show, apart from the stuff you've already talked about? Is there anything that we haven't hit on that just makes you go, this is absolutely stunning? I mean, what is it about that's drawn you into True Detective?
I love the sense of this darkness kind of gathering at the edges. It's almost like shadows lurking in the corner of them. Like, you see something cut out of the corner of your eye,
mm-hmm.
but you don't quite catch it.
Like those freaking traps, those freaking little devil traps.
Oh, my God, the devil traps. Yeah.
I hate those.
Makes the Blair Witch things look like Tinker Toys.
So it actually does have a hint of genre in it.
A little bit, but you see little flashes and little hints of stuff, and it starts to draw together.
Yeah.
But there's this sense of something far greater out there, which is really...
King. Yeah, the Yellow King. I mean, and that was the thing that Anne Vandermeer was talking about that she's really appealed to, and IO9 covered it as well. IO9 basically sat down, I think, with the director, the guy who created the show.
He talked about the mythology.
He talked about this. There's this play that it was written during the Middle Ages, and if you read it or you perform it, you go mad, and it's about the Yellow King. And then there's all this Lovecraftian stuff that's been thrown into there.
Yeah, there seems to be some Cthulhu-esque stuff going on.
And that's, I think, what also really appeals to me.
Yeah, you're like,
hints
what?
Hints of other stuff.
Yeah, there's something far more sinister happening underneath.
Under the surface. It's all,
exactly.
This show is all under the surface.
And that is a very Lovecraftian thing. I mean, you know, yes, was Lovecraftian a wild misogynist racist? Sure he was, but you know what? He could do this creep. That's not a pass for him, but he could. Well, he's dead. But he could do this creepy underlying sinister. What lies beneath, kind of thing. What's under Oak Island or something like that. You know, I mean, it was just this very, very creepy feel, and that's what. And the last couple of episodes. Well, I shouldn't say episode 5. Episode 5 started off just out. You know, it just came out swinging. But the one we saw tonight, episode 6, was very, it was a little more cerebral. It went back to the formula of the first few episodes, which is very cerebral. It's very much about the process and things like that. And it does. It has you wondering, where are these, and now on the Book of Face, people are talking it up, and you know, Wendig, both Vandermeers, they're all throwing
losing
out their
minds.
They're losing their minds trying to say, oh, I'm it's got to be this. It's got to be this. It's got to be this. I'm like, I just stopped guessing. I'm just like,
just
you know.
I want to see the
race. Well, you're lucky because it could have been awful, Katie.
It could have been awful because I go home where I don't have HBO. But then
Maybe you could just be Facebooking and you'll go, oh my God!
No!
But you have found a source.
I have found a source. I was talking to my boyfriend on Skype and I mentioned it. And he was like, oh yeah, my dad's been into it.
And you were like, okay.
I was like...
I think you said to your boyfriend, look, I don't care if you're home or not. I'm coming over. I'm watching True Detective with your dad. Of course, the dad's probably going to be like, you're watching this game?
Yes.
Shut up and just hand me my beer.
Now, from a
nothing snooty.
From a writing point of view.
Oh my God.
I love whoever this guy. I checked out. He hasn't actually done a lot. I imagine from now on he will be.
Yeah, no kidding.
Doing a lot of stuff. But from a writing point of view, it reminds me of when I can't remember the book I read, but the book I read before We're the Child, where they broke up and they did different time streams. And I'm like, how could you do that in a fantasy setting?
Funnily enough, I hadn't thought of it before now. I did it kind of with the dark Victorian fantasy. Breaking up different time streams. Which is maybe also why it appeals to me so much because I like playing with time.
And they've woven it together so you don't get the whole story. So it's an interesting way of piecing together the mystery as you go along, and revealing things and concealing things and lying about things.
And alluding to things. Like everyone's saying, oh, like 2002, bad year. But it takes them a long time.
And you're like, what happened to 2002? What happened?
Like
we only found out tonight.
Yeah, the episode that we were talking about, Who Goes There, it's written by Nick. I'm sorry if I mispronounce his last name. Nick Pizzolatto. Pizzolatto, I'm going to assume that. But Nick Pizzolatto, he is the executive producer. He is the creator of the show. He has directed, I think he's directed one or two of the episodes, but this one was directed by, Kari Joji Fukunaga. But he's the writer, Nick Pizzolatto. He's the main writer for the show. Okay.
Are they going to do it like American Horror? They're going to do
a new story. So the question is, are McConaughey and Harrelson, who I would have never paired up together.
No.
I would have never paired these two up together, but wow. I mean, they work so free. Even as two guys who hate each other. Pip and I talked about this. We were like, you know, these guys aren't friends. They're not friends. They're brothers.
Yeah.
They have that brotherly kind of reluctant.
They don't get on all the time.
No, they don't.
They don't even like each other.
Little bit of spoiler.
But they will look after
each other. A little bit of a spoiler alert there. There was a scene where in this recent episode where McConaughey kind of gets thrown under the bus by Harrelson. And McConaughey goes to the door and he just flips off Harrelson. And Harrelson, without missing a beat, flips him off back, and I'm sitting there going, that's what two brothers would do. If two brothers were taken to dad, you know, and
told off one of them.
Told off one of them, the other brother said, hey, I don't know what he's talking about. One brother would flip off another brother, and I'm like, wow, that was an honest, sweet, cool moment. I absolutely adore this show. And I can only assume that the naysayers are going, oh, this is kind of boring. You know, you're not going to have stuff blow up in every episode you see of a police procedural.
No, this is more like, we've talked about this before, it's more like a European kind of, like Wallander, Luther.
Yeah, it reminds me
a lot.
It's like a slow burn.
Yeah.
It reminds me a lot, yeah.
You have to think.
Yeah, you got to think.
And sometimes you have to wait.
Yeah.
Waiting. That's the worst bit. It reminds me a lot, there was a lot, Barry Levinson kind of took a page from the European stuff. And he did a show called Homicide: Life on the Street. And it's astounding that this show got 8 seasons, because it wasn't getting great ratings. But in every Emmy, they would bring home the gold. So NBC's like, well, we got to keep it on. But eventually some guy came on and said, it's not getting the ratings. We're pulling the plug. And it's sad because Andre Brower's on that show. Yaphet Kotto was on that show. Richard Belzer's on that show. One of the Baldwin brothers was on the show. It's a solid, solid show. And I you get that same kind of slow burn, dark vibe, kind of like what's happening right now with our cats.
I'm just prepared to like throw a pin in the general direction just to break up their concentration.
Thanks, cats. Thanks for breaking the mood. Thanks for breaking the mood.
But can I put a... Jeez.
Cut it off.
Just put that off. Well, I'm not going to get cut off. I'm going to say my piece, Morris.
I'm gonna miss you guys.
We'll be doing this.
Baby, we've been going longer.
Really?
We've been going longer about True Detective than we have about...
Well, I'm not really... This isn't really about True Detective, but I just want to say people have been saying that anthologies and books...
Are making a comeback.
Yeah. They used to be the kind of redheaded stepchild of fiction. Yeah. And now everyone's doing an anthology, so it's interesting to see that the TV... is also
following suit. But you can't say the True Detective started that because that started with American Horror.
No, American Horror started that.
So we'll see what happens in
the recent round of anthologies.
And let's just hope. Let's just see what happens. I'm gonna hope and have my and make my hopes high that season two of True Detective. And if there isn't a second season of True Detective,
there is.
Okay,
they've
good.
Already greenlit the next.
Thank
one.
God.
Because
I'm loving me my Deadwood, and the fact that that got cut off after season three, and a lot of people said you're not going to like the end of season three. So
maybe I can watch it the next time I'm here.
There you go.
Bad
so here we are, the big goodbye. And you know when the recording device actually fails on you, that's when it tells you, no, I don't want even the
I don't want to do the goodbye. I don't want to do it.
Even the computer doesn't want to do the goodbye. So there you have it.
The feels.
The feels.
Computer has the feels.
Computer has the feels. This has been a great month. We've gotten a lot done, and just in the review that I've done of the audio, we actually taught you a lot more than I expected. So, I mean, that's always a good sign.
But we left a little bit in reserve.
Just a little bit left in the tank. Just a little bit.
Just enough of a hook. To
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
Just when you think you get, they get out, they pull you back in.
Yeah, exactly. So, but anyway, I guess the big thing is, Katie, do you have our schedule down here?
Yes.
There you go. I'm gonna stall while you. She's like, "Where's the schedule? Where's the schedule?"
The funny thing is, this is the second time we've done this.
So really, the first time was more impressive than this time. Really?
Yep.
Yep. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I have it.
She's got it.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Can I get a hell yeah?
Hell yeah!
So what's our schedule? Where are we going to be in the wacky month of March? Because it's a wacky month.
It's a wacky month. I have a lot of stuff happening in March. Dawn's Early Light comes out on March 25th,
what?
Hopefully. And just 2 days after that, on March 27th, you guys are down in Richmond, Virginia, doing the writing show.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
That's going to be cool.
Unbelievable. So I guess we'll be actually using the appearance at the writing show as a way to celebrate the book coming out. So we'll be fresh off that and talking about hybrid authors and things like that.
And social media.
Yeah. And I also believe there March 15th is the final day of the Billabub Kickstarter.
I believe it's March 14th.
Because you said March.
Time we've recorded it, you're doing it wrong.
You said March 15th last night.
I said 14th.
Okay,
you
fine.
Check the audio.
You basically just repeated
the audio,
what
the you audio
did.
That we didn't record last night.
I'm sure that audio is still in there.
No, it's not. I can tell you right now, it's not. I've looked for it.
I'm with Katie.
Okay, whatever. Whatever. I know. Your motto.
Pretty much.
It's okay.
And also, just working backwards, Weatherchild coming out on
March 1st. Yes.
That's right.
It looks so pretty.
It does. Now, we're still on track for this happening. Tomorrow, or actually yesterday, because we're doing the timey-wimey wibbly wobbly, tomorrow is the 25th of February. This drops on the 26th. So yesterday, we launched the third season of Tales from the Archives. Silver Linings dropped. So hopefully people are listening to it and they're enjoying it. And so 2 weeks from yesterday, we are going to hear Under Oak Island, correct?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
So that's going to be launching.
Also have various podcast appearances through the rest of the month. And if you have a podcast and would like to feature Pip and T, drop me a line at contact@ministryofpeculiaroccurrences.com.
That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it.
For Canada.
Or New Zealand.
And it's worked out pretty well so far.
Yeah, but Canada's got way more gold medals, unfortunately. Oh! So there you go.
On the ice.
Yeah. Anyway. Now, one other thing, too. Concerning all the snarky remarks that Canada made over here, if you want to leave her voicemail or if you want to leave comments about our show, don't forget, we do have a voicemail. We got 703-791-1701. Go ahead and drop us a voicemail there. You also have t@tmorris.com and
pip@pjballantine.com.
And you can go on ahead and leave comments on the blog found at thesharedesk.com.
Like how awesome we are getting actually on target again for 2014.
And in fact, I'm going to double down and say show 35 is going to be our voicemail show.
Okay, so give us some voicemail.
So give us voicemail, give us email, let us know what you think. respond to some of the snarky comments from our intern of awesome over here, or as we call it, the agent of moose. and you know, it's been a blast having you here. We're gonna miss you like crazy.
We're gonna miss you guys.
The boom is gonna miss you like crazy, but the good news is
the kittays are gonna miss you like crazy.
The kittays are gonna miss you, but the good news is that as soon as we wrap up here, we're gonna go pick up the boom and we're gonna watch Pacific Rim right before you leave. So it's gonna be awesome.
We will cover up the fields with giant robots and monsters.
Yeah, I gotta drop in here somewhere from Pacific Rim. I know I do. Where
and
is
you got
it?
Some Idris. Some
I do
Driss.
Have some Idris. It's in one of these.
You've got so many.
I've got so many drop ins. I'm losing. Ah, there we go. Here we go. Yeah.
Where would you rather die? Here or in a Jaeger?
Right next to you, Idris. I say that every time.
Exactly. Every time. So. So just I should actually pull up another special drop in. Although I don't want to play it. I don't want to play Takeoff.
I don't want you to take off.
I kind of like her version of it.
So. It is fun that way. but I will say this. I will say that the share desk is protected by a Creative Commons share alike. No derivatives, 3.0 United States license. Wow.
That's a weird license.
I'm all choked up at the field. You can...
That's what
you
feels so.
Don't send me back.
I'm sure somewhere American Customs is listening to that. You better send her back.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You can find out more at creativecommons.org. So until next time, we will be actually 100% less Canadian, but that's okay because there will be other times she will be back. We know this. So in closing, just enjoy the ride.
Catch you later.
I'll be back.
He
undertalks. He's a low talker.
Yeah, only during.
I don't think. I do.
When you do it,
only when we talk about True Detective, we can't do an entire show that way.
So, Katie, how's your internship?
Did you enjoy the internship, Katie?
Yeah, or was it a sucking black hole of nihilistic pain?
We're just all going through the motions. And it's scary how much Cole sounds a lot like Crazy Uncle Charlie, but I won't go
but
there.
But he's like a slower talking.
An intellectual Crazy Uncle Charlie.
Yes.
That someone slowed down.
Yeah.
All right.
Without the buzz and blow.